Well, you know you can't do nothing with me now when it's all of us in here. So anyway, we'll be off the chain. All right, let me go on and share my screen. Let me find my all right, we got some Enoch action going here. All right, so let's take a look first at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, and then we're going to run over to Genesis. There's not a whole lot said about Enoch, but, I didn't mean to give you the highlighted version, but okay, well, I got some highlights in here. I'll have this on the website in a little bit, and let's take a look. And the scriptures, I mean, you can look out in your Bible, especially if you got the funny Bible in it, and it's got a different version. But I normally go from King James, and so it's there, and I just want to break this down. So here we go with Enoch. All right, I got a little note there from my commentaries and my studies here. Enoch is in the seventh line of Adam, seven being the number of spiritual perfection. I just kind of throw that out there for, you know, gee whiz kind of stuff, if you're into the numbers, and I'm kind of into the numbers. All right, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Couldn't find him because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, the thing that I like about this is Enoch is in the Hall of Fame and the Faith Hall of Fame, which is what some people call it. I like that term, Faith Hall of Fame. And sometimes when I read this, I'm trying to figure out how did they get into the Hall of Fame? What kind of numbers and batting average and things like that did they have in order to be mentioned in this Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11? And again, there's not a whole lot that is said about Enoch. You just got these two verses here in Hebrews. So I wanted to kind of take that apart. And then I want to go into Genesis and kind of show you a little bit more about Enoch, because you got about three or four more verses there. And then he's mentioned occasionally in some other scriptures that we might look at if we have time, in like in Jude. So let's start to break this down. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, you mean the Book of Enoch?
Book of Enoch.
Without getting to the history, because I used to know exactly why from a historical perspective or whatever, but it's kind of fuzzy because I haven't had that question before. But I think it comes back. I don't know if it's associated with the Council of Nicaea or not, but some of the spiritual leaders or church leaders had reviewed a lot of those lost books. I think the book of, that's another book out there. I almost said Book of Eli, but that's a movie. who's the guy that betrayed Christ? I'm having a brain dump here. Judas. Even Judas had a book or whatever. Yeah. So, they decided by inspiration to leave that passage out because either it was a duplication or they had some question as to, you know, authenticity or whatever. But really, when you look at the commentaries, the Book of Enoch kind of lines up pretty close to the scriptures that we currently have. So I'm not going to tell you I'm an expert on that. I used to know. It's easy to Google it up and figure it out. But it was left out, you know, basically for that reason. By inspiration. But if you pick up the Book of Enoch, you're not going to see, I don't think you're going to see a lot of, I haven't read the whole book. I read bits and pieces of it, and it seemed to line up with the scriptures that we currently have. So I know that wasn't a really good answer, so I'm going to tell you, Google it. All right. I wanted to tell you what Enoch means, translated into Greek. It is to transfer or to change, or to go or pass over from one place to another place. And so when we look at this, we see by faith, Enoch was changed. And what I'm highlighting is, so why do I care about how Enoch was changed? Because we ought to, especially us getting ready to go to funerals, we ought to, by faith, experience the translation or change. Now, do we have to wait to die to face that translation or change?
No.
Which means you can. So I want us to look at this twofold. One is how it means, especially since we're going to funerals next week and things like that or whatever. It is great to know. Never been to a really bad funeral, unless it's somebody who did not have a heavenly account. When you know that somebody was in the Lord and they died, you know that they are going to be translated or changed and have everlasting life. Praise God for that. But Juanita said, we do not have to wait to die to experience the translation. Uh-oh. Just said something there. Okay. Take a look at my third bullet there. It says, death is the end of something. Enoch was expecting to see death. In fact, we're expecting to see. In fact, if we wanted to find out where Enoch is buried, we would expect to go to the cemetery. But we know through the scriptures that Enoch will not be found there because he's been translated. So the place where we would expect to see Enoch, he will not be found there. So, when we are expecting, and I got it in my notes here, are we expecting death or loss of a job or loss of income, a loss of status, a loss of health, a loss of relationship? Change can help you avoid death in the spiritual realm, but here's an example. In fact, I had to deal with some of this even today or throughout the week. Sometimes people don't respond the way you want them to respond. Sometimes you get disappointed. Sometimes you get your heart crushed and broken. Sometimes somebody won't sign the defense bill, and then you're wondering whether you're going to have a job on Monday or not. And when people find out what you have gone through, they expect you to act a certain way and to be a certain way and to respond a certain way and be able to find you in that place of brokenness and anger and disappointment, blah, blah, blah. But if we have faith in God and we put our hope in Christ, where people expect to find us, we won't be there. Did you catch that? I'm at a funeral and people are crying out, and they expect everybody to be sad and mourning and just grieving or whatever. But somehow at the funeral that I went to, there was a little bit of that. But when you got there, the people weren't there anymore. Guess where they were at? They were praising God and thanking God for the celebration of life and knowing that this brother was still in heaven. Which means I praise God. And you know, sometimes people will test you when you're a Christian, just to see whether they can, you know, pull your strings and make you go off. And when they look for you in that place where you should be upset and you should be mad and you should be going through something or whatever, they find that you're not there. Well, when I used to say this used to make you go off. But you're not there anymore. And the only way you can get translated that like that from that situation, the only way you can be someplace where people expect you to be, but you're not there, where the world expects you to be, but you're not there, is by having faith. So you don't have to wait to die to be translated. You can be translated today. In fact, that isn't that what the whole Christian experience is about? It's about being brand new and be translated? Because you are being beamed. Let's do a Star Trek thing. You are being beamed from where you used to be to where Christ ultimately wants you to be to bring him glory. So not only is this a future application when they get ready to plant us, but this is a right now application. We can be translated today. By what? By faith. And I love this part of the scripture in Hebrews. And was not found. Was not found where? Was not found dead. Was not found in the place where they expected. Having difficulty with your spouse. I was not found at the divorce court. having difficulty with my kids. Was not found at the cemetery. Was not found in the tomb. Was not found there because by faith I put all that in God's hands. Translated. Who did the translation? God did the translation. Why did God translate him? Why did God move him from one place to another place? Because he had faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. Because he said, you know, God's going to, here you go. God is going to move me according to his word and his promises. God is going to lift me up and move me from this season that I'm currently having. And because I have faith in that, God will do what he said he will do. And the translation and the move comes by faith. How did he get it? Let's keep going. I got some stuff highlighted here. I highlighted it last night, and it might not be applicable today because now I'm already going in a different direction. Because of faith, where he was before, and when you went there to that place, you could not find him there again. I'm so glad that when I do this, Al, when I stay on the map and I do this thing the right way, folk can't find me where they expect to find me. My mom called me up in 94 and the person that's staying with her that helps out is having surgery or whatever. And she said, hey, you know, we're running out of supplies over here. We might need you to go to the store. I'm like, I don't do that. Hey, it's Sunday. I'm in Bible study, girl. You know, I ain't gonna lie to you. Well, you want to go and do some grocery shopping for her?
You can order it.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Al. So when I thought about it, I'm like, huh. So okay, Juanita, since you've been saved all your life, all right, Juanita, since you don't like my response, since you don't like my response, tell me what you think I should do in order to get back in right standing, because my mom kind of knows that, you know, I might be found there because I just don't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't do that kind of stuff or whatever. All right. So what do you think I need to do? Because you telling me what you just told me ain't helping me. Now that's the wrong approach. Okay, now the redheads are showing up, so y'all kind of, you know, act right now.
The bottom line, just do it.
Well, okay. Yeah, just do it. I'm going to do it. Oh, y'all can call me all kinds of names if you want to, but I'm trying to help you all here because I know somebody else up in here. If it might not be your mama, it might be somebody else, but somebody don't want to do what they want to do or whatever, what they need to do. So I'm trying to figure out how, because this is not a physical thing. See, y'all addressing this in the physical. Oh, you know, just do it, blah, blah, blah. Now, y'all talk about this in the physical thing, because then I might do it and still have the wrong attitude. Because come on now, Jalen just asked, hey, you know, you can't, if you're going to pray, there is no incorrect prayer. Oh, yes, there are some incorrect and some crazy prayers, because you can do something in the physical and in the natural, but if it ain't moved and done correctly in the spiritual, then you're just wasting your time. So in order for me to do this the right way, y'all are telling me all this physical stuff, but y'all ain't told me what I got to do to get my mind right in the spiritual. Y'all better talk to me. Thank you very much. Somebody go through the steps. I got to humble myself and say, hey, you know what? I still need God. What's the next thing I need to do?
Repent.
I need to repent. Repent for what?
Bury all that old stuff.
Okay, so I need to bury the attitude, my deficiency. I need to bury my deficiency, my weakness. I don't know how to do it. I don't do that kind of stuff or whatever, because I sure ain't going to the grocery store looking for no feminine products. Chuck don't do that. So I need to bury all of that, all of my inadequacies. All that needs to be buried. Then what I need to do? Thank you. So now, instead of, oh, Ma, I can't do that, I don't know how to do that, it is, I don't know how to do that, but you know, God knows how to do that. And so I put my faith and my trust in him. What's the next thing I need to do? No, I don't go to the store and do it. Not yet. Because if I go in the store and do it now, I'll still be fussing. Please, you know what? Please, Juanita, I know there's some things that you have done and you didn't want to do it, and while you're doing it, you fussing.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you. I got a witness. So I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to help y'all here. Y'all talk about me if you want to, but I'm trying to help you because I know. Anyway, what do I have to do next? Now, my hope and my faith is in Christ, but what do I need to do next? What's the next step?
Born again, new creature.
I'm already born again. I got a new mind. My mind is, hey, look, my mind is, I'm going to do this thing because I'm trusting God. Now the Holy Spirit's going to get me. So, and this is why it's important for the Holy Spirit to go with you when you go.
Right.
Because now I got a new mind. And I'm excited about going to the store. And as soon as I get that list and I see some things on the list that I don't know anything about, what might I be prone to do? What keeps me from going back? Ooh! Now I can go through the power of the Holy Spirit knowing that whatever I'm doing right now is for the glory of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. So when I'm going through the store, I'm going in the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I'm going in the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm a cheerful giver. I'm like, ooh, I don't know where that product is, but by faith, I might have to humble myself. Hey, I might bring my wife with me because she might know some things or whatever. But now I'm getting kind of excited about doing something. You know why I'm getting excited about doing it now? Because I'm doing it for the glory of God. Who revealed that to me? The Holy Ghost. And now I'm ready to go to step number 5, which is all about
mercy.
And that's how I get into the place where I start walking with God by faith. So y'all can talk about me if you want to. You know, I give you my little corny stories or whatever because y'all too scared to tell me about your little issues. But I know good and doggone, well that there's about 2 or 3 of y'all out there that that have been grumbling about this, that, and the other. Amen. I told her she'd come around after a while. I got your back, bro. No, but do you see? Because everything Juanita said, it was like, oh my God, how did you say that? How can you say that? I told her we're gonna take care of her. Well, you know, I'm kind of like the son. You know, parents say, go do this. And he said, I ain't doing it. And then he goes back and what does he do?
He
repents.
Yeah.
And he does it. Now, I'm getting better because now I don't have to do the repenting thing. I just go and do it because it's necessary to do. But that doesn't mean you don't have a little struggle in your mind saying, but when you look at it as an opportunity that you please in God, something different. All right, we had a couple of new folk join or whatever, so we're in Hebrews 11 and 5. All right, so I got some highlighted things there, and if you guys have already read the highlight and got some questions, let's go on because we got to get to the Genesis piece. I got some stuff. Let me see what I got highlighted here. The opposite must be true. Do you understand what I'm saying when I said the opposite must be true? If by faith you can be translated where people won't find you where they expect you to be, then what I'm saying here is the opposite must be true. If people can still find you in the same old place you used to be, then you must be lacking in your faith. You get that? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. The truth is, everybody doesn't want to be beamed up. Some people like to hold on to the hurt. Yep. And if you're still holding on to the pain, the disappointment, let me take my example with my mom going to the store. If you're still holding on to your inadequacy, oh my God, thank you, Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost is in the place because I didn't have this in my notes. I don't know how to shop for folk like, I don't know how to do that. is that the old me or the new me?
Oh.
It's the old me. Now, do I want to let go of my ignorance and inexperience and my weakness and my inability? I should, but if I don't want to, I don't know how to do that. If I say I don't know how to do that and I'm not trying to do anything about that, then I might be holding on to that because I may not want to do it in the first place. Because I want to. And the only way I can change, according to the scripture, is by faith. So if my excuse is I don't know how, I don't have the ability to do that. The new me, when I go through the same steps that we talked about, is no, I can do it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And since I've already gone through those steps where step three is my faith and my hope is in Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to move in me and use me and do what he needs to do in order for me to accomplish those things that I was never able or even wanting to do before. Does that make sense? So now I don't operate out of inability and fear. I operate by faith in that Christ can do all things through me. So now I'm confident that I will not fail because God will be with me when I go through the store and he'll be pleased with me because my mind is translated. Does any of this make sense? Can you apply any of this today? Which means you don't have to wait to die to be translated. You just need to have faith. All right. So stop holding on to that hurt. Jalen, I remember when I was a young college man, I was an ugly brother. I was an ugly brother. Senior in high school, really. I was an ugly brother. Had braces, teeth sticking out or whatever. People talking about me and calling me names and stuff like that or whatever. And, man, just that's ugly brother. Didn't have no dates, no girlfriend. Couldn't be over to my prom. Terrible. And I'd walk around with a pity party, playing all these old, sad love songs. Here I'm loving the Blue Notes. The love I lost. I'm just have you seen her? All these old sad songs or whatever. And after a while, I started feeling good. They call it a pity party. And after a while, I was kind of happy that I didn't have a girlfriend because I like to feel sorry for myself. Ooh. Some people don't want to let go of the hurt, the pain, the disappointment. But then I got the braces off, and by faith, I figured out I might be able to pull something. All right. I looked at some other things in the Word here, and it says, notice the process of not being found on earth, your transformation from the world. The world was only a temporary place, and so Enoch was in transit or transition. So before his change and translation to another place, he had this. He had a testimony. So what I'm saying here, it's going to be difficult for you to overcome unless you have a testimony. And what's a testimony? A testimony is to be a witness or to affirm what you've seen or heard or experienced. And the question I have is, does your testimony please God? See, I can have a testimony that I go out and I do something for somebody, but if I don't do it in the right spirit, then I'm just testifying to myself. What's the greater testimony? Is the greater testimony, mom asked me to do something, so I just go and do it. And I might be grumbling while I'm doing it, but it gets done. Or is the testimony is, mom told me to do something, but I was going through some things. I had some inadequacies. My desire or my flesh was like, man, I don't really want to do this or whatever. This is going to be an inconvenience for me. But I go through this process, and through this process I get victory. And now it is with joy and excitement that I get to call it back up and say, just make your list. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, I don't even care if the list is long. I need the Holy Ghost for that, though. And then we go out and we do that thing. Which one gets more glory? Why do you say the second one?
Because you have humbled yourself on
Ooh, and there you go, and that's it right there. It's the power of, because the first one would have been me doing it in whose power? And I would have only been doing it because Juanita had been on me, and I'm like, oh, let me go home and shut Juanita up and go and do this thing. She's trying to make me feel bad about how I interact with my mama. I would never say that with my mama.
I still have a problem with that.
I know you do. But you know what? Here's the neat thing about being translated. While you're still there, I'm gone. while you're still hanging out expecting me to be where you got a problem with, by faith, God has translated me, and I'm already getting ready to call my mom and say, make your list as long as it is, because that's for the glory of God, and it's through the power of God that that's happening. So I really don't care what other people think about me. What's really important is that God understands where I am. And so if anybody at the end of this Bible study thinks that I'm where I was at first, then... Al, look over there and tell her to be translated. All right, by faith. Anyway. And when people ain't getting it, you just need to pray for them. By faith. Amen. Pray to that brother be translated.
Okay.
Amen. And praise God, you got a good husband like Al.
Hello.
Oh, because you know what kind of crazy person you'd be getting with me. But anyway, let's go. You'd have to stay before the throne with a brother like me. Anyway, all right, here we go. All right, question. How can we please God? If we really want to be translated both now and in the future, it might be important for us to figure out how to really please God. I got some references here, but why do I say that? Because in the scripture, as I'm scrolling back up, it says he had this testimony that he pleased God. How do you please God?
Obey him.
Okay, got to obey. All right, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on Hebrews 11 because I want to get to Genesis. Because what I really want to do is I want to shock and awe Davy, because Davy's going to be thinking that. See, Davy signed out. He probably thought I was still talking about David and stuff like that, or Abel. Now we done moved past Abel. And now we're on Enoch, and then I'm really going to shock because we're going to finish Enoch today, and then we're going to go into to Noah next week or whatever, and we're just going to be moving through because he thinks I stay on one place too long. But anyway. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on Hebrews 11 and 6, but this is what I've highlighted as important. It is impossible to please him without what? Faith. Oh, so if I try to do the going to, I know it's a simple thing. If I try to do the going to the store for my mama in my own strength, is God pleased?
No, because you probably
want to
have the right attitude.
Then why are you so on top of me by doing it in the natural when you see that by... You don't know how I spoke to my mama.
Well, that's what you said.
You can't believe everything a preacher say. Now, anyway. You got to have the Holy Ghost to test you. Come on now. Now, you got to figure out what spirit is putting that in your head. It ain't like I said to my mama, that ain't happening, woman. Yeah. No, that is not what. Now, there's a whole lot. I'm going to play this back. There's a whole lot. I did not say that. I said that my... I don't really do that kind of thing or whatever, but don't worry about it. Al, you know what? You know my spirit. You know I'm on the map when I talk to my mom. My mom is 94 years old. You know I ain't going to talk to my sometime. Praise the Lord. Tell the truth. All right. You know what? I bet I'm not the only one who might have a sometime in relationship. All right. There you go. Y'all keep calling me out, but that's all right. He who is out without sin. All right. Well, I need to just pray for a brother. Let's be translated. All right, here we go. All right. So here's some of the notes that I have here. Just coming to God alone won't please him. Got it? Application for today. Just coming to church won't please him. just coming to Bible study won't please him. Here you go, Jalen. Just praying won't please him. Because when you come, you must believe that he is. Which means the motivation for every, it is in our brokenness and in our inability that faith is born. So that way I make sure in my inadequacy, I can't do anything without God. And then when I do it through his power, he gets the glory. And he gets pleased. Why? Because I'm relying on the power of God and my faith in the power of God to be able to change my circumstance and do things that I've never able to do before. That brings some glory. And that's the testimony. What's the great testimony here? Oh, here's a testimony. My mama asked me to go do something and I did it. Praise God. Or my mama asked me to do something. I had difficulty doing it, but I went and prayed and followed through the steps and through the power of God, I was able to do it and have joy while I was doing it. Which one gives God more glory? Yeah, ask her. Which one gives God more glory? The second one. Why? Because it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of God, through my surrender. So what I'm saying is, in your weakness, God uses that as a testimony. You mean to tell me I should be celebrating the fact that I had apprehension in doing something? Because God in the end gets the glory behind it? Because when I testify about it, I can't say, oh, I did it. God did it. And that's going to encourage somebody else. Oh, here's a testimony. What did I tell y'all last week about my car? Yeah. I told you I went out there to go start it up and it's acting kind of funny. Thank you, Tracy. Like the battery's getting ready to die. And I said, well, I'm just going to pray that the guy keeps it going or whatever. And what did, what did the gangster Christian say to me? you better go humble yourself. You better go and get that battery changed. You better go get that battery switched out. You're going to be stuck on the side of the road or whatever. Well, I got a charger at the house or whatever. And I so what do I got to do in order to get my battery swapped out? Or checked?
AAA.
No. You call AAA when you already broke down and stuck someplace.
Incorrect. They'll come to your house and change your battery.
They will come. Okay. And they will come to your house and change your battery or whatever. Okay. You got that right. Amen. Now, but I did not want to do what Ken told me to do. Cause I don't want to go through the inconvenience of having to go get a new battery. I will take my chances. Uh-huh. What do I have to do? Ken, the one that told me. I got to humble. Now, before I got to have faith, I got to have a need. I have to humble myself. And I remember all throughout yesterday, Ken's words were in my brain. And part of me was like, I don't want to do what Ken said do. I don't want to be able to come back on Sunday and say Ken was right.
If you don't have faith, you insult God.
Okay, amen. So I went out there and I charged my battery, and my battery looked like it was going to last a little bit longer. It's still doing that little whiny sound, but I figured I could make it. I just said something. I figured I could make it. But then I kept remembering what Ken said. And so I'm like, you know what? Ken's words are bothering me. I think I need to go and get another opinion. Amen. So I went to the battery source, and I said, hey, will you check my battery for me? Because I'm humble and I think I need to repent from trying to do this on my own and just wishful thinking that it won't die. And I went, and the lady said, man, we've been seeing a whole lot of cars because these temperatures are going down and it's killing these batteries. They tested my battery, and all of a sudden, boom, they said, whoo, you lucky. You need a new battery.
It's the expiration on most batteries like 5 years. Did you check the time?
And God bless me, because I'm like, man, now I got to pay about $150 for a new battery or whatever. But the battery still has some warranty left on it. Oh, I feel my preach getting on. And so when I went, it didn't cost me as much as I thought I needed to do it. I didn't have to call AAA. I was the only customer at the battery store at the time. It was like they were set up just for me. They replaced my battery in 5 minutes. It only cost me $60 to $80 because I got credit from the warranty. Now I got a brand new warranty and I got a brand new battery. And guess what else I got? Peace. Because I ain't got to worry about traveling someplace and getting stuck. Thank you, Brother Ken. That's how, no, and faith comes by hearing from the word of God. Now, because the Holy Spirit will bring things back to your memory, and then you just got to be obedient to the Spirit by being humble. Now, when I started driving back, I started feeling good. Ooh, I was feeling good. Got a brand new car. I felt like it was a brand new car, you know, driving out, and my radio don't work. Because when you swap out the battery in a Honda, you know, the theft thing goes in there, and now my radio don't work, and I've been Googling, so now I'm complaining about my radio not working. I know, but I don't know how to reset it. It won't reset for me for some reason or whatever. Now I got to figure out what's going on. I'm driving around without a radio. I said something. I'm driving around without a radio. But I'm still doing what?
Praising God.
I better be praising God. See, sometimes when you focus on what you don't have, you'll miss how God just blessed. That's why you want to have a testimony that's by faith. Okay, so now we have really spent too much time on this. And you can read 11 and 6 for yourself, but I'm just telling you, like Al said, without faith, you can't please him. And know this, he will reward them who what diligently seek him. So what does it mean to be diligently seeking him? For me, that means everything that I get ready to do, just because I had a good experience and a good instance in the Lord, just because God did something good for me, I need to be diligent. So he did something good for me through Brother Ken. I got a brand new battery at a much discounted. I got it for half price. Praise the Lord for that. But now my radio doesn't work. What does it mean to be diligent? I still seek him, even though everything ain't happening the way I want it to happen. Got it? Okay, faith is released in the miracle. Remember the woman at the, not the woman at the well, the woman with the issue. Everybody crowding around, but only one person by faith touches him, and faith gets released in that situation. So just because you're in a crowd of Christians don't mean everybody got faith. Believe that he is. I got a question there. What does that mean? I am that I am. Believe that he is the one that's going to get you through whatever your right now situation is. Got it? Yeah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. And I think we can wrap this up. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. You can look at it in your Bibles. I have it up here. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Oh, key word. He walked with God after he begot Methuselah. 300 years. And begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch, here's again, he walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. That's that translation thing. So now you got what got him in the Hall of Fame. Now you got Hebrews saying he made it to the Hall of Fame because he had a testimony. And now in Genesis, you find out what that testimony was. What got Enoch into the Hall of Fame? He walked with God by faith. He walked with God. The name translated Methuselah means man of the dark, or translated another way by some commentaries means when he dies, it's coming. So the tradition states that the flood came after Methuselah died. Anybody know anything about Methuselah? The term old as Methuselah? He's the oldest recorded life on earth in the Bible. Why do you think, this is just Chuck. Why do you think he lived so long?
He pleased
God. God's mercy.
Yeah.
Because if the tradition is true and that the flood, based upon his name, came when Methuselah died, don't you see the grace and mercy of God? He extends his life hoping that somebody will get saved in those 700 some odd years. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all will come through redemption. All right, repentance. All right, he walked with God for 300 years, I got highlighted here, and was fruitful, which means he increased. He had sons, he had daughters or whatever, all right? Now, I don't know what the first 65 years looked like. I'm sure he was probably a Christian because he named his son Methuselah, which means God must have revealed something to him about the end time that's coming. But it does say that the 300 years after Methuselah, he walked with God. So he must have stepped his game up in the end. I got a couple of notes here that I wanted to highlight here as you look at my screen. I don't know, does this help you guys when I have the notes up rather than me just kind of talking through it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, how he started did not disqualify him from a great blessing and from his transformation. I just said something. Notice what got him in the Hall of Fame. Because sometimes we think we got to do something great for God in order to make it to the Hall of Fame. He didn't do anything really significant. Except his last 300 years, he walked with God. If that's the criteria that Enoch had of being great in the eyes of God and being mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame, what do you think we need to do or can do in order to have faith like that? Just walk with God. Just walk with God. Just walk with God. All right. Note, there's no mention of any great feats that Enoch performed. He didn't slay any giants. He didn't defeat enemies in battle. He might have, but I don't see it in there. He didn't walk on any waters. I don't see any great miracles. But he walked with God. What are the results of walking with God? He was not where he used to be anymore. God took him, went straight to heaven. All right, so we need to get asked the question, what does walking with God mean?
Yeah.
What's the other? How do I walk with God? Walking with God means you are moving with him. You are going in the same direction. And you are moving according to whose plan?
His plan.
Every little example that I gave you today, from whether I'm going to go shopping for my mom to whether I'm going to get a new battery for my car because Ken came up with the idea before I did, all of that impacts whether I'm going to walk with God or not. Walking is a way of life. I'm in communion with God. If you are not walking with God, who are you walking with?
Yourself.
Ah, there you go. You're following after the other guy. So, Juanita, do you see how in my weakness, in my response when my mom gave set the request over, warned me that the request is coming, do you see how my initial reaction, oh, here you go. Juanita, I'm just trying to be translated. Because in my first response, it might not have been as nice or whatever, but ooh, thank God that in my latter response, ooh, I'm walking with God. Because see, let me put this in Juanita's spirit, because I love what she said here. It ain't how you start out, woo, but it's how you finish. And my, this is for Jalen. And my response to my mom the first time does not disqualify me from walking by faith and repenting and doing it right the second time. Oh, excuse me. I just got translated. Ooh. Now, I know some of y'all have been saved forever, you know, but I don't have that testimony. I'm sure somebody in here has got some history or whatever, and your first few years, you thought probably disqualified you from what you thought God could do for you or whatever, but praise God, when you follow the steps and you start walking with God, that first 60 years goes away, and now you walk with God and you get translated. And you have a testimony. And you make it to the Faith Hall of Fame. What did you do to get translated? Well, I didn't walk on water. I didn't kill any giants. But I walked with God. And if I'm walking with God, then he's pleased. All right. Notice what happened if he... Oh, notice what would have happened if he didn't walk with God. As long as I'm walking with God, I'm on the right track, and what I think is going to die is going. I'm just not there. It's not how you start; it's how you finish. It's not how you start; it's how you finish. All right. There's another reference here in Jude chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. I told you he was the seventh from Adam. He prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. And of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Enoch's name shows up in Jude. So the 300 years that he was walking with God, guess what he was doing? Prophesizing and preaching. Preaching what? Repentance. Trying to get people to understand that you need the Lord. Because when you're walking with God, you're trying to get other folk to see the light. He preached righteousness. What's righteousness? He preached right standing with God. Told him the judgment's coming. And he's comparing the flood to end times. Now, without getting very deep in the theology of things, when God sends the flood, when he's bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, all those types of things or whatever, it's just God practicing. It's a foreshadowing of what's going to come when he fulfills his plan. Is judgment going to be coming on the earth again? Oh, yes. What do we need to be doing in preparation for that? Walking with God. Are there things that happen to us and around us that make it, that can distract us from walking with God? Yes. Name a few things. I just want to make sure that we got this walking with God thing straight. Fear?
Yes, fear of the virus.
Woo! Fear of the virus? Fear of we got the political environment, the country environment. All right, so let's take fear of the virus. So fear of the coronavirus can cause you to stop walking with God. How is that?
Because you are taking eyes off God and you're walking like I'm afraid. I'm being afraid of getting sick.
All right.
I'm afraid of
that. So being afraid of being sick. Now, wait a minute. How about this? If fear... I'm fearful. Okay, all right. So if I'm fearful that I might die from the coronavirus, I don't want to get it, amen. But I see other people that are responding a certain way. So I just say, well, you know what? I'm not going to be scared anymore. So I'm just going to go out there and do this thing. Wait a minute. You said no. But now I'm not going to show any fear. All right. am I still walking with God? You said fear. Got it? Good. And I'm saying, okay, so I'm fearful of catching things, but I don't want to show fear, so I'm just going to go out there and I'm not going to wear a mask and I'm going to show how big and bad I am or whatever, and I'm just going to do it like that. That way. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, but I'm not showing fear anymore. So that's why it's important. Wait a minute. Are you saying if I stop wearing my mask because I'm trying to battle my fear in myself in the way that I see other people battling? Are you saying that doing it that way, I won't be walking with God? But I don't want to wear my mask because when I see other people might see me wearing a mask and think that I don't have faith. Oh, thank you. And I ain't gonna be worried about other people thinking about me either. By faith. So I'm going to walk with God. How am I gonna walk with God? I'm going to follow the steps. I'm going to humble myself. I'm not going to worry about. I'm going to repent about what other people are thinking. I'm going to put my hope in God. Hope what? Hope. Hope that, one, I don't care about what other people think, and hope that I ain't going to get sick or whatever. And if I do get sick, he'll just be like, "Go." I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit or whatever, so that what I do and how I roll out of the house brings him glory. And then, what's step five? Mercy. I'm going to execute mercy on others by being obedient. Yeah. Now I'm walking with God. How do I walk with God? Follow the steps. Are there any questions? Anybody get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what you get out of it, dear? and Al, that's grace and mercy for you. Now, I love this class, and see, this is the thing, and I don't want to discourage Juanita. I don't think I am discouraging Juanita. Let me tell you. Praise God.
I've asked God, okay, help me
do
what I need to do to help this person.
Because it brings and it brings some glory. And it brings some glory. So I want to celebrate Juanita today because, see, I mean, anybody that's teaching, I love this because, you know, as old as we are, except for Jalen, as old as we are, we've heard this word before, we've gone through these scriptures before, but do we really apply them and understand in the spiritual realm how to make this thing work so that we're always, always diligently walking with God? I didn't grow up like that. And so I celebrate when people ask questions. I just celebrate that. Why? Because those questions let you understand how this thing really works. We're in school here. And we need to be and we need to be able to share this word in a certain way so that what? So that people like Jalen, our kids, our grandkids, our people around us, so that they're walking with God. Walking with God. So I'm so happy. You know what? I promise you this. Somebody might not say it or whatever, but Juanita challenging me on some of these things or whatever, it opened up the eyes of somebody, I guarantee you, where they can see how they can apply, right?
When you are hurting and you feel doing things for other people, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Like, Like yesterday, she was hurting, but she went on and did this.
Oh, praise God. God had the, got to have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And now we know how to pray about it. And you know what? Here's the neat thing. Instead of being grumbling about it, when you when I find out that what I'm doing is bringing God glory, I get a little excited about doing it. I almost, here's my translated mind. I almost have the mindset of, I can't wait for you to ask me again. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know that takes the Holy Ghost. I can't wait for you. Just give me another opportunity to make Daddy happy. That is a translation. That'll get you in the Hall of Fame. God bless you. All right, we're going to.